For Our Neighbors is our new sermon series we're beginning today. Actually, it's kind of a mini-series leading up to the big backyard party on August 20th. And we have the big backyard party because we like to have fun, but it's fun with a purpose. And one of the purposes of our big backyard party is to provide a non-threatening event that you can invite people that you know that may not go to church anywhere but might want to come over and see a car show or might want to bring their kids to play with some inflatables or might want to hear some live music or share a meal. And it just gives us an opportunity as a church to rub shoulders with them, to love on them in Jesus' name. And it really provides an opportunity for us to reach out to them with the love of Christ. And so we're excited about the big backyard party. A lot of things are happening for that. And we just want you to take the card you have in your bulletin and invite a friend. You may want to even use that card as a prayer reminder. There's more cards out on the connection station. If you want to take a couple more with you, just take as many as you like to share. And please be praying for this event. So what does that have to do with our sermon series, For Our Neighbors? Well, our sermon series is one that's going to highlight the importance that God places on loving others. And we're going to begin in the Old Testament, kind of an unlikely passage perhaps, Deuteronomy chapter 10. And I'd like to invite you to stand as God's word is read this morning. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God and to walk in obedience to Him, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set His affection on your ancestors and loved them, and chose you, their descendants, above all nations, as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. He loves the foreigners residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve Him. Hold Him fast and take your oaths in His name. He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your ancestors who went down into Egypt were 70 in all. And now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky." You may be seated. Well, one of the reasons that God has called us to exist as a church is for our neighbors. I remember growing up at a time where you went and neighbored with people. We don't do that so much anymore. I have a lot of memories of that. One vivid memory I have is several times a year we would get up early on Sunday morning and we would pile into the car, a Chevy Bel Air, blue and white, and we would make our way to Bartley, Nebraska. I lived in Beaver City. And we would go to Sunday school and church, and then after Sunday school and church, we would go over to Bub and Dorothy Premer's. And we would have a big meal, and they would visit with my parents for the afternoon. They had a big white dog that liked to have kids come over and play, and he tore my shirt almost every time I went there. I remember getting in trouble for that. I blamed the dog. They somehow didn't take that blame. But if we were good, and even if we weren't good, Bub would load us up in the back of his pickup, and he would take us down to the gas station where he worked, and he would open up the pop machine, and we would get to take out cold, ice-cold Orange Crush and drink it. Early or late in the afternoon, we would get back into the old car, and we would usually stop in Cambridge for a visit with Wymore's or Desmond's. And then we would make our way home. We did that a lot. I don't know if your families did anything like that growing up, but that's something that's kind of lost on our society today, that whole kind of concept of old-school neighboring. And we can lament that, or we can realize that our society is different. We're busy. We have a lot of things going on. But even as I thought about that, observe my neighbor a lot this summer, and one of the things that the neighbors do is they often sit out on their porch in the evening. And it's interesting how people from the neighborhood kind of gather and sit to visit on the porch. Sometimes somebody will be swinging down the street, go around the block, pull over and stop to visit on the porch. That's neighboring. And she does it without preparing for it in any way. She doesn't even make cookies. I've been over a few times, thought cookies would be nice, but it's just creating a sense of community for the people who gather there. We should do that as a church, and we are called to do that as a church. And the scripture today challenges us with the importance of being a good neighbor. And before we go on, maybe what I should do, since neighbor is such a broad term, maybe I should define it for the causes of our study over the next few weeks. And that is, a neighbor in this context is any person in your sphere of influence who isn't experiencing a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. Now that leaves it pretty broad, doesn't it? But God calls us to love people. In this particular passage, he talks about the foreigners living among you. He was writing to the Jewish people, and the foreigners living among them were people who really weren't God followers, but they were living among the Jewish people. And he was saying, you love them because I love them. And the whole goal of loving them was to bring them closer to God. And I don't know that neighborliness has gotten too far away from that in our world today. So let's open up this passage and let's just kind of dig right in, because it lays some foundational teaching for the whole idea of being a neighbor. First of all, it teaches us this: our love for others should grow out of the character of God. Did you notice how much it talked about God in this passage? It talked about God being all-powerful and almighty. It talked about the commands of God. It talked about the character of God. And it talked about how his character was to love people. And that character of God should be a motivation to us to love others. I want you to think about something. Have you ever thought that God doesn't really need us? He really doesn't. God doesn't need us. God wants us. Now, let me explain that. In verse 14, for instance, it says that God created the highest heavens and everything on earth. That means he owns it. It goes on to say later on in the passage that he's the God of God and the Lord of lords, that he's almighty, he's all-powerful, and when you're almighty and all-powerful, you don't need anything. He doesn't need us, but he wants us. In verse 15, it says, he has set his affection and loved you and chose you. He's speaking specifically to Israel there, but that application is made to the people of God in the New Testament. In 1 Peter chapter 2, if you read that chapter, it says that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, God's own people. You see, God has chosen us. God wants us, and he wants us because he loves us. And when the Bible speaks of God's relationship to us, it uses words like loved, chosen, helped, defended. God is self-existing, and he doesn't need us, but he wants us. Something else as you read through this passage is it talks about fearing God. And in respecting God or fearing him, we are also called to respect his creation. Verse 12 says, plainly, to fear God. Now, and fear in that context isn't like you would fear snakes or fear spiders. It's talking about having a deep and abiding respect for the things of God, and to honor God, to reverence him. In respecting God, we're also called to respect what he created. It naturally follows that if we respect God, we would respect the things that are important to him. And there's a lot of emphasis in our world today on taking care of our environment, isn't there? And I appreciate that emphasis. But as you look at creation, you look at the creation story, the pinnacle of God's creation is humankind. And so you would think that our deepest respect, our deepest honoring would be for what God honored most in creation, and that was others. And God calls us to care for people, to have a high view of people, and to love them. So our love should grow out of God's character. But our love for others, secondly, should also reflect the character of God. We see that in this scripture. It's God's character to love people. That's just who God is, and so should we. As you look through the passage, it identifies some things about God's love. It says that God shows no partiality. He's almighty, he's all-powerful, but he doesn't show partiality. He doesn't love people more or less because of the color of their skin or their economic status or how smart they are, or how good-looking they are, how bald they are. Well, I think God maybe has special care for bald people. I don't know why that is, but I just think that. Really, God has special care for all of us, doesn't he? God loves us with an abiding love. And God calls us to love other people in the same way. Not to just think, well, you know, I might like to spend time with that person, but God calls us to love all people. God's love is also faithful. As you read through this passage and study this passage at the end, they're reminded that when they went into Egypt, there were 70 people in this family that Jacob was the patriarch of, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. And it says when they came out of Egypt, when they're getting ready to enter the promised land, that they are as many as the stars of the sky. They had increased greatly. But all through that time, God had been faithful. And they had served in Egypt, and they cried out in their slavery. God sent Moses and the plagues to deliver them. And then in the wilderness, when they were stubborn and when they didn't do what God wanted them to do, God still loved them. God's love was faithful. And a faithful friendship is needed in the lives of many people today. God loves us because he wants us to experience the best in life. As I was reading through this passage, do you notice that it begins by saying, you know, you need to fear God and obey his commands. But then in verse 13, it says, as you observe these commands and decrees I'm giving you for your own good. In other words, what he's saying is these commands of God are really God wanting best, the best for you. God wants you to be obedient to the commands he's given you. Because if you follow God and you do what he calls you to do, you'll have the best life possible. But if you walk away from God, many times you'll find yourself in a destructive place. And so God's love for us causes us to want to experience the best in life. And our love should be the same for other people. Our love should be for them to experience the best in life, seek to lead them to a relationship with Jesus Christ where he can grant them what's best. And God's love is also sacrificial. It doesn't overtly say this in the text, but he talks about the chosen people of God. And if you go back to when that choosing took place, God made a special covenant with Abraham, who was the father of all the Jewish people. And God said that he was going to bless Abraham. And he said to Abraham, you will be a blessing to all nations. And what he was saying in that was that through Abraham's heritage, the Jewish people, the Messiah, the Savior, would be born, one who would die for the sins of the people. And through that sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, God's love would have its highest exhibition. And if God loved us sacrificially, so should we love other people sacrificially. We can't step away from this passage without noting that it's God's character to especially love people who are struggling. In verse 18, it says that the fatherless, the widow, and the foreigner, God cares for in a special way. These are people who, in that society, had no way to provide for themselves. You were a widow and didn't have a husband to work and provide for you, there were no jobs for women. If you were fatherless and a child, there really weren't ways that you could provide for yourself. And so the fatherless and the widow had to be provided for the goodness of God's people. And that's what God is calling them to do, to provide for him. And he would provide for them in special ways. And then it talks about the foreigners living among you, which among the Jewish people would have been slaves. And so the only way that they could have had provision was if the people provided for them in response to God's call. God cares for those who are struggling. In verse 19, it says that you're to do that. You're to love foreigners because you were once foreigners in Egypt. Now, I don't think it's a stretch to apply it in this way. The people of Israel were enslaved in Egypt, and they were foreigners there. They didn't belong there, and God brought them out of slavery, and he brought them eventually to the promised land, and he provided for them all along the way. We are slaves to sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet there is a way that God can lead us to freedom from sin, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. And as we follow Christ, we're led from the bondage of sin to the freedom of life with Him. It's a free gift. It's not something we earn. It's not something we deserve. But God in His love provides that for us. And so if we've been set free from sin, and there are others around us who don't know that joy, who don't know that blessing, we are compelled because of God's love for us and God's gift for us to share that type of love with others so that they might come to know Jesus Christ and so that they might come to experience the riches of His grace. That's what He's calling us to do, to love people, neighbors, who are people in our sphere of influence who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to love them so that they might have the opportunity at least to take a look at what life with Christ might be. One other lesson that I want to share with you here is our love for others is a work that brings glory to God and blessing to people. The call of God to love is a call of obedience. We are called in obedience to God's command. In the book of Deuteronomy, it's really what the Deuteronomy means is a repeat of the law. You see, they received the Ten Commandments and the law in Exodus when they first came out of the Promised Land. And then because of sin, they wandered in the Promised Land for 40 years. And now, in Deuteronomy, they're ready to enter the Promised Land, and Moses is repeating the law so they'll know what the commands of God are. So how many commands are there? Some of you would say 10 commands, the 10 commandments. That's right. God gave the Israelites 10 commandments. But as you read the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, scholars count about 614 specific laws that were given to the Israelites. Can you imagine keeping those 614 laws? Can you imagine? How many of you have the 10 commandments memorized? Yeah, there's a few hands there. How many of you have those 614 commands memorized? How many of you even want to memorize those, you know? One of them is to not boil a goat in its mother's milk. I don't know what that means, but it's in there because I read it last week. Isn't it wonderful that when Jesus walked this earth, He was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And if you've been around the Bible long, you probably know what Jesus' response was. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then Jesus says the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's kind of a command that if we work on those, on loving God, on honoring God, on reverencing God and giving Him glory, if we work on that, and then out of that, loving others, if we work on those things, we pretty much have what God wants us to do. That's what Jesus said, and we need to trust Him in that. The loving of others is a work that God does through us, and it yields amazing results. As you look at this passage, you know, they're reminded that when they were going through the wilderness, they saw God do amazing things. And what we need to be reminded of is when we obey the commands of God, when we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, if we reach out with the love of God, the great thing that's going to happen is God is going to work through that, and God is going to do amazing things. God is going to transform lives. God is going to give you opportunity to be involved in the life of others in amazing ways. And many times we think about, well, I don't see God at work anywhere. And the reality is God is at work everywhere. We just have to join Him in the work. I told you about neighboring with a family, Bub and Dorothy Premer in Bartley. I want to go back to that story. We called them Uncle Bub and Aunt Dorothy. I didn't know until I was in junior high that they really weren't our relation at all. but they were family. Anyway, my parents only lived in Bartley a short time. They lived most of their time in Beaver City. That's where their favorite son was born. That'd be me. My other siblings aren't here to argue that. But anyway, my oldest sister was just a babe in arms when they moved to Bartley. And my mom had never lived away from her extended family. And even though it was only about 40 miles, it seemed like a great distance to her. And she was pregnant with my brother. And so here she had this little baby, and she was pregnant, and she was in a new house. And my dad was running the lumber yard, and they lived right next door. And so if somebody couldn't get there on time, they'd come over and knock on the door. So he was always going over, and it was gone a lot. And there was a lady named Dorothy Premer that saw this young mom come to church, young family come to church, and she just stopped by and said, "Hey, can I help you?" And they developed a friendship that lasted until Dorothy's death. And that was just Dorothy being a neighbor, and it made a tremendous difference in my parents' life when they were at a stage where they needed a friend. And it was just someone answering the call to love their neighbor in the name of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that about 40 years ago, well, it wasn't about 40 years ago, I was home the summer from college, and Bartley didn't have a preacher. And so Dorothy called my mom up, and she said, "We don't have a preacher. You suppose Clark would come and preach?" And so I did the whole summer. And boy, were they scraping the bottom of the barrel. But they were good and gracious people, and they fed me homemade ice cream. And it was a wonderful summer. But the Lord does amazing things when his people just simply listen to the call, and they look in their sphere of influence, and they love their neighbors as Jesus loves them. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness to us, and I pray that you will strengthen us to love others. Lord, help us to not be shy about that, but to not just wait for opportunities to fall into our lap, but just to look for opportunities and to take the time to love others in your name. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.